The Torah is very clear at Har Sinai and in the introduction to the development, to the building of the tabernacle, that Hashem absolutely, without a doubt, does not want the Jewish people to be making idols, to be serving idols, to have a God that exists within space. And so it's shocking when we build a Mishkan and all of a sudden we confine Hashem to a space. But what's even more shocking is that in a temple to an idol, you would expect to see an idol. You would expect to see an image, an embodiment, a sculpture of that, of the deity, of the thing that you're serving. And if you go to the core, to the center of the Mishkan, as this week's Parsha begins with the center and works its way out, what you see at the very center is Kruvim, is an image. And so while Hashem is telling us not to make graven images, in the Ten Commandments telling us not to make graven images, nonetheless, we at the center of our Mishkan, at the center of our holiest place, of our holiest expression, way to connect with God, here we have all of a sudden a sculpture, an image. Now, how do we understand that? But as we go through the Parsha, as we go through the description of the Kalim, the description of the ornaments, and the ornamentation, and the structure, there's a subtle, but once you hear it, an obvious and constantly perceptible theme, thread, that goes throughout this week's Parsha, which is the depiction of the human body. Starting from the beginning. This list is brought by Rabbi Yitzchak Twersky in his Sefer Amita Shal Torah. He says, Mikol Ish Asher Yidvenu Libo, everyone who wants to bring it, but the word that wants to volunteer their services, their goods and services. But the Torah uses the word libo, which means his heart. Voros elim adamim, skin. Ve'ama v'chetzi komaso, describing the height, the size. He uses an ama, which is the forearm. Komaso, standing. Ufnehem ish al achiv, and their faces are one to another in the description of the kruvim. And he doesn't mention this, but it's what it's called, the lechem hapanim. It's called the showbread, but it's not. Why does it have to be lechem hapanim? Why does the face, lechem hapanim, literally means face bread? Why is it necessary to call it face bread when it could just be called bread? Arba hapeos asher la'arba raglav, in the description of the corners of the shulchan, it calls them peos, like side curls. Asher la'arba raglav, on his feet, yarcha v'kana, the thigh, al sefas hayira, on the lips, the mouth of the curtains, l'shte yedosav, on his two hands, Ulatzela Hamishkan. The Mishkan is described as having a tzela, not a tzad. You would think that the word, the standard word for side, is tzad. But instead here the Mishkan uses the word tzela. What's a tzela? When in Sefer Bereishis, when Hashem says that he takes Chava out from the side, from the rib cage of Adam, it's described, the Torah says that it's taken mitzela, from the tzela, from the side of man. Here we have that same exact word again, tzela. And then the completion of it, yutamim al rosho, that it's on its head, ulechaseif, and the shoulders, hashenis, chamesh amaklaim, that it's hanging on the shoulders. So we have all of these different body parts. We have the heart, the skin, the arms, the face, the peos, side curls, the feet, the thighs, the lips, the hands, the side of the rib cage, the head, and the shoulders. It's almost an entire depiction of a human body. And yet, didn't we think that we're not supposed to be embodying creating an image of God. And yet, in Sefer Yeshaya, like we read just a couple weeks ago in the Haftorah, when Yeshaya goes up, when he has a vision of the heavens, and he sees the Maaseh Merkava, the chariot of God, the face, so to speak, of God that he sees looks like the face of a person. It's in Sefer Bereshis that man is described as being made Bitzelem Elohim, in the image of God. We're told to never make an image like God, and yet we are an image like God. God made us as an image of himself, and we are instructed to not follow suit. And yet the building of the Mishkan, the Mishkan architecture, has weaved into it all of these elements that are meant to be reminiscent of man. And when we reach the core of the Mishkan, what we see is the face of man. And perhaps the reason for that is to remind us that God really dwells, like it says at the very beginning of this week's parsha, like it says in Pasuk Ches, Va'asuli Mikdash, and you should make for me a holy space, V'shachanti Bisocham, and I will dwell, not Bisocha, within it, but Bisocham, within you. Because ultimately the Mishkan is meant to be a vehicle for us to connect with God. It utilizes the language and the symbolism of the human body to remind us that the point of God dwelling on earth is to dwell within, not a building, but within us. And that's why over the course of Jewish history, there have been times when we've merited to have the building and times when we haven't merited to have it. Because when we aren't bringing that idea of Mishkan, of Mikdash, into ourselves, when we're not seeing ourselves acting like Tselem Elohim, like something that is a reflection, that has the capacity to be like God, then it turns the Mishkan into a house of idealizing pure aesthetics, of idealizing imagery, which is not the point of the Jewish people, which is not the point of our holiest space. And so it's crucial that we see the Mishkan as a place that reminds us not to turn to the Mishkan for holiness, but to turn to ourselves, to remember, to recall, to live our capacity for holiness. Shabbat Shalom.